two verses I want us to focus on are verse 6 and 7. So when they met him, they asked him. Maybe you've got questions for Jesus as well tonight. They asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority." Jesus, please, as we look at this issue of your timing, help us with our questions. But Lord, more than that, help us in our trusting. For we ask in Jesus' name, Amen. We live in time, don't we? I'm here on the pulpit and there's a little clock and it's going tick, 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 tick. It's another minute. Just going, going. We live in time. We're caught up in this line of us moving along at the same pace of it. But the wonderful thing about the God we meet with is that he is outside of time. God, when he talks about who he is, he says, "I am who I am." And that word is continuous. He always was, he always will be. He is the I am, the great I am. He's the one who was before the beginning of time and right at the end of time. He's the one who sees it all. He knows it all right from this very moment. He can kind of look down on it a bit like if I was to draw a line and then look at it in all of its completion. He's like that. But he hasn't kind of wound it up and he's journeying along with it in a fatalistic way. No, it's just that he can see it all. Time doesn't operate in the same way for God at all like that. He can interact in a real way with us right now so that I can't say that, God knew I was going to drop that forever and ever, amen, and so I can not bother about what I do and not take responsibility. No, I have responsibility. It's just that I can never surprise God. Somehow he's always there and he always knows it. And wonderfully, my times are in his hands. So the psalmist says, Psalm 31, our times are in his hands. Just recently, Bernie Loma went to glory just this Monday. Many here will have heard that this morning. And it's even wonderful to have Ken and Rosie, some relatives here with us tonight. But Bernie's times were in God's hands. You and I, our times are in God's hands. And part of our learning and growing as Christians is to know that we can trust our times into God's hands. Because actually, oftentimes, we've got questions about timing, don't we? In fact, that's the first point I want us to see this morning. Questions of God's timing. Questioning God's timing. And that's what the disciples do in verse 6. They say, so when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They had questions about God's timing. And so often, you and I also have questions about God's timing, don't we? When, Lord? When are you going to stop this illness? When, Lord? When are you going to bring revival? When, Lord? When are you going to come back? When, Lord? When am I going to get married? When, Lord? When am I going to be able to have children? When, Lord, when are my children going to come to faith? When, Lord, when are my children going to come back to faith? When, Lord, when am I going to get a job? When, Lord, am I going to get a job that I really like? When, Lord, am I going to be able to leave this job? When, Lord, should I leave Brighton and go to India to be a teacher? When, Lord, should I do this? And when, Lord, should I do that? And how long, Lord? How long, Lord? How long, Lord? All through scripture and church history, people have been pouring out their hearts to God in these kind of ways. And I imagine just in that short little list of things, some of those have touched something where you yourself have been saying, when, Lord, when? And the disciples, similarly, almost their motives betraying, their question betraying their motives. They've been really interested in Israel, the nation of Israel. And in their question, they've been really interested. Well, when is the Romans going to get kicked out? When is God going to restore things as they're meant to be? And in verse 6, they want to know, is this the time, Lord? Is this it? Is it now? In fact, John Stott writes in his commentary a very amusing little line about this verse in verse 6. Let me read to you what John Stott has to say. The book's down there, and I think Dave Reese ran out of copies, but I've got a photocopy just here. Here is what he says. Page 41, I do believe. This is what he says. He says that John Calvin commented on this verse, verse 6, that there are as many errors in this question as words. Not reassuring. Sometimes we can ask Jesus things and worried what it's going to be like. Well, the disciples are doing that right up to the last bit. The verb, the noun, and the adverb of their sentence all betray doctrinal confusion about the kingdom. For the verb restore shows that they were expecting a political, territorial kingdom. The noun Israel, that they were expecting a national kingdom. And the adverbial clause at this time, that they were expecting its immediate establishment. They just got it plainly wrong. In his reply, Jesus corrected their mistaken notions of the kingdom's nature, extent, and arrival. Jesus is so gracious with us, isn't he? We have questions. Questions that we pour out to God, and he comes graciously, and he says to the disciples, he says to them, it's not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his own authority. In a moment, we're going to look more at trusting in God's timing. But before we just leave from this questioning, I want us to think about three different areas where we question God about timing. One, in things where actually we're never going to know the time or date. Can you think of things that Jesus has said plainly that we're never going to know the time or date for? When he's coming back. Plainly. In fact, many have been interested in that and wanted to know, but we just don't know. Jesus said plainly, it's not for you to know those times and dates. And in fact, this could have been one of the things he was referring to here. But I think that actually it wasn't the only thing. I think their question's so confused, it's kind of hard to pinpoint it, isn't it? But when he says it's not for you to know the times or dates, there's two different words he used there. One is chronos, from which we get chronology, and the other is kairos, from which we get a kind of an event or a moment. It's kind of, we sometimes speak of a kairos moment. And it seems that he's describing here not just one date or time, the end of the world when Christ returns, but he's speaking of something here that is that there's chronology, there's times that we don't know, and even dates we don't know. So I think there are some other things where actually we just sometimes don't know when God's going to move in that kind of way. We don't know when natural disasters are going to happen. We don't know when God sometimes is going to stir and move an entire nation and open up things in revival power. Sometimes we get little glimpses and signs that he looks like he might do. But we don't know so many of these times. Often when you've got an illness, we don't know the timing of it. We don't know the timing of when one another are going to die and go to see him in glory. There's so many things we just don't know. And you and I could want to know. People do, don't they? Go down the West Pier and try and get their palm read or something like that to try and find these things out. And Jesus said, no, you're not meant to know. It's not for you to know. Even sometimes when people get diagnosed with an illness, there's many things that we just not to know. We don't know. But if there are some things like that, there are also things where we've got questions, because part of our questioning is not because we wonder whether we should know or not. It's actually, we kind of think maybe we should. So questions about when should I get married or when should I move? Those kind of questions. And is Jesus referring here to things like that? Are we just never to know when we're meant to move or get married or not? And you kind of think, well, I hope you do at some point know whether it's time to kind of do things like that or change jobs. And I think there's a whole lot of things where we look for God's timing when actually we do need to seek him. We do need to look to discover. And there is a right time, and he will show it to you. He will kind of say, right, here's the time. And you might even be able to plan for it. Isn't that great? God actually doesn't say, this verse doesn't say, no planning. You know, praise the Lord. But actually we can plan for things. And God says, right, this is the time, plan for it. You know? And many times we're going to need to seek him in those times. And as we're questioning, I think this verse isn't saying it's wrong to question God in those kind of times when we want to seek him and want to find out what is the time. And in fact, I'd encourage you, if you're going to get married, make sure it's the right time and the right person. And if you're going to move, make sure it's the right time and the right reason. Just a little thing on that. God generally doesn't call people out of situations. Don't leave because it's hard. God generally calls people into situations. Do you have a calling into the new job? Or just a calling out? I need to get out of this one. Calling into rather than just calling out to. God's timing on that. Often it betrays our motives. So in those kind of things, seek God. But here's the last category, as we just question God's timing on things, that I felt really burdened tonight to just share with. It's kind of implied in this in verse, just because you could say, well, verse 7, does that mean we're never to know if it's time or this or time for that? And actually, there's so much in the Bible that says, no, now is the time. Now is the time. Can you think of any verses that say, now is the time? What is this the time for? Today. What is this a good day for? Salvation. Today is a great day for getting saved. 2 Corinthians says this in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. The Apostle Paul writes, now is the time. He says this, in the times of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. You know what salvation means? It means being free. Being freed. Free from guilt. Free from the law. Free to live. Free from spiritual poverty. Free in our spirits from economic poverty, even from feeling held down and oppressed. God comes and he sets people free. That's what our Savior does. And maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking, I need a Savior. I don't feel free. I've not got freedom in my spirit. I feel like I'm burdened down with guilt and baggage. Come to the cross tonight. Come to Jesus, the Savior. Today's a great day to respond and be free. But there are also tons of other things where now is the time. Now is the time to forgive. Don't wait for tomorrow. The Bible says forgive. So now is the time. Now is the time to love. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait and think, oh, is today a good day to love my wife or love my kids or love my neighbor? Today is the day. Do it. Love them. Today is the day to praise God. Today is the day to be filled with the Spirit. Today is the day to decide, I want to be baptized at the next available point, if you've never been baptized in water. Because it's an act of obedience. These things aren't things that we're told to say, oh, well, there's maybe a time ahead and I should think about it. No. Now is the time to obey God in these things. Don't dilly-dally or wait. And if there's something like that that God's putting on your heart, don't delay. Don't hear this message tonight and think, yeah, I need to wait. Maybe I'll never know whether it's time to do that or not. Time to say sorry to that person. That's not, you've misheard the message tonight, if that's what you think. No. Go for it. Do it. Reach out in love. Say no to self. Turn from your sin. That's another thing that today's the day to do. Don't say, oh, when's the time I should give up this sin? Now. Now's the time. Turn from it. Today. So, but their question is actually, it kind of falls between number one and number two in those list of three things, doesn't it? It's kind of seems to be a question about, you know, things coming together at the end of the age and, you know, restoring things. But it's also, it could say, is this one of these questions like in number two that's about, is it going to happen now, Lord? Is it almost like, is God going to bring revival in this situation right here? And as we do that, I want to say, the next thing we really need to get to grips with in this passage is that Jesus says, basically, trust God. There's some aspects of God's timing you're not going to know. Trust him. Trust him. For those big number ones that I was talking about, trust him. Those things where are outside of our control, when he's coming back and when you die and all those kind of things, trust him. They're in his hands. Jesus said to them, verse 7, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. It's as if Jesus is saying, look, you know, it's kind of on a need-to-know basis. You'll know when you need to. And it's a bit like, have you ever been guided by someone, somewhere where you don't do? I marvel at the trust and faith that Chris has so often when people are guiding him. He just knows confidently that they'll tell him when he needs to know, and he just goes, particularly when he's with Owen, just whoosh, he just walks around places. And I thought it would be great to get Tim up here, and I'm just going to put a little blindfold up in and just see, you know, we've been working together for a while. It's actually Tim's birthday today, so we've been it's about 7 years we've now been working together or something like that, so at least known each other longer than that.
You can't see anything else now
you've got glass off. Here we go. Anyway, so now with Tim, basically I'm gonna, okay, is that good? Is it around your eyes? That's okay. Okay. With Tim, basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and walk him around our slot here. And I'm just going to tell him what he needs to do. And I'm not going to tell him, you know, 20 yards in advance. I'm just going to tell him when I need to tell him, you know, and he needs to trust me. So, Tim, you can turn to the right.
Are you being like a good guy at this point?
Hey, where's your trust? Turn to the right and let's walk together. So keep walking.
Quite scary.
Turn left. Yeah, just trust me that I'll... No, keep walking. Just keep walking. Trust me that, you know, if you need to know anything, I'll tell you. You know what people do, don't they? You imagine, you're like this with God. Say, is it now? Is it now? Do I turn now? Is it now, Lord? Don't we do this?
It's quite scary.
Yeah. Just, it's okay. You're doing fine. Okay, turn left. And then keep walking. Isn't that how... That's how God guides us, doesn't it? Do you ever wonder? I sometimes wonder, why does God leave it till the last? I'm still watching you, fine. You know, I sometimes wonder, just turn a bit to the left, turn a bit to the left. Yeah. No, I'm not. But do you ever wonder with God why, yeah, it's okay, don't worry. Do you ever wonder why he leaves things to the last minute? Doesn't he often seem to do that with you? You know, you think, why didn't he tell me? Yeah, it's okay, just a little bit to the right, a little bit to the right. There we go, a little bit more to the right, a little bit more to the right. That's good, keep walking. Okay, now, turn left. Turn left. You're going to need to walk pretty straight now, Tim. This is important. Okay, no, bit more to the left. Bit more to the left. There we go. It's fine. Bit more to the right now. Bit more to the right. Stop there. Okay, just, this is a bit of a pickle we got him in now. So just a bit more around here. No, right now to the left. Okay, there we go. You're going straight this way. That's great. Just keep walking. Do you ever wonder why God does that? He kind of gets you walking around. Just stop there. Just a bit more to the left. Come down a little bit of a narrow thing here. Just to the left here. Yeah, there you go. Now right. It's not really a zigzag. It's just you've not been walking on the path. All right, a little bit to the right, a little bit to the left. Okay, there we go, straight again. You're doing great. Hey, should we give Tim a big round of applause? Okay. We'll take this off you now. There, you're done. You're doing great.
Wow.
There we go. Get your glasses. God does know. God does see. He sees what's ahead. Remember that? We're in time. He's outside of time. He knew what was going to happen in India. He knew you were going to come tonight. He knows what you're going into tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow, Jesus said. Do you know that? He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Whoever gets tempted to worry about tomorrow, can I just see some honest... Repent! That's a today thing. Repent! Repent! That's not a, oh, maybe I'll get round to one day when I'm, you know, really wise, like Mary Hitchens, I'll learn to not worry about tomorrow. No. Jesus says, today, repent. Don't worry. He'll go there ahead of us, and he'll tell us, and he'll provide. And he'll move in wonderful ways. So if you get nothing else out of tonight, and I've already got tons just from what Brother Moses has shared here, but live and walk by faith, that means... Trust him. Listen out for his voice. When he says, do it. And here's the big thing. Go with the marching orders you've already had until he gives new ones. Can you say that with me? Go with the marching orders you've already had until he gives new ones. Such a big thing I've found in life. Sometimes I can think, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. No, do this until I tell you. And then it'll be plain. Go with the marching orders you have until you get given new ones. And go with what he's plainly revealed. That's the marching orders you've got. And so many things are plainly revealed, like pray and reach out and witness and love and forgive. All those things are so plain in Scripture. And here we are wondering about this or that. And he's saying, now this is what I've told you to do. This is the way. Walk in it. This is the way. Walking it, there's a great verse I want to have up here on the screen. Deuteronomy 29:29. Easy reference to remember, isn't it, this? Deuteronomy 29:29. Say it with me while I have a sip of water. Actually, why don't you say it out? Here we go. The secret... That means there are times and dates that we don't know. Their secrets. God knows. Now, does he not tell us because he can't speak? No. He doesn't tell us because we don't need to know. But the revealed things, the things that he has spoken in his word or to you personally that you know clearly from him, the revealed things, they are so that you'll do his will. They are so that you'll do his will. And the timings then, you leave up to him. We trust him. And even in this great verse here, back in Acts chapter 1, and this is our kind of memory verse for this time, and I think the things we don't struggle with so much are the revealed things we struggle to obey. The things we struggle to trust God for are the secret things, aren't we? Isn't that right? They're the things, and many of us have them. We have them in things in the life of the church at the moment. You know, when exactly is the building project exactly definitely going to end at church? The Lord knows. You know, it's builders. You know, it could be any time. You know? And, you know, when exactly is God going to move in revival in this city? Boy, I'd love to know that. We could kind of staff for it and prepare for it and get things ready, you know? But, hey, we don't know. But I tell you what, I get the sense God's up to something. So we don't know. So verse 7, we're going to try and learn together this week. You've got a little blank piece of card in your paper, and you can really get into it. And the blank piece of paper, your card, is that it's like I used mine this morning. I actually used it to write someone's name down. There we go. Iris, thank you so much. That's yours. I'm stealing now for Iris. This one, I find really helpful to write verses out. Do they do this in India as well sometimes? Write verse out on a card and then stick it somewhere prominent where you can remember it. Carry it around with you. Pull it out when you're waiting for the bus or waiting for God to do what you want him to do and say, right, the secret, you know, this is the verse. Here we go. I've not yet learnt it. So he said to them, let's read it all out together. Verse 7. It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. Don't use that as an excuse not to do the things he's already told you to do, but use it as fuel for faith. Because who set those times and dates? The Father. The Father, your loving Father, the one we've been worshiping, who knows you and cares for you, he set those times and dates. I want to end by reading a bit from a sermon that someone was going to preach about a year ago, a guy called John James. Do you guys at OM know John James in Wales? Great man of God. In fact, he was at a time, I think in India, when God just moved in a very powerful way there as well. And he's someone who's been familiar with God just moving in revival power in different places. And is now a kind of, he's just handed over the role as pastor of Penarth Tabernacle in Wales to someone else. He's now a kind of a older guy. And in fact, he wasn't able to come give this message because he'd had a heart problem and a mini heart attack. So it was a year ago, and he was meant to speak at our World Missions Day. And he then wrote out his message and gave it to us as a leadership. And I've shared this in the past in morning services. Some of you might remember we've even distributed it. But I was rereading it again, and I wanted to just end with it tonight. Won't read it all, but here we go. Dear friends in Christ, I'm sorry that I was not able to visit you at the launch of your missionary gift day. I was so looking forward to renewing fellowship with you. In my preparation for my visit, I was quickened by the Holy Spirit to prepare a word for you, opening the floodgates of heaven. However, I was hindered from coming to you by illness, but the word has continued to burn in my heart, and so I thought I should write to you. I've never had that happen to me before, and a guy not be able to come and bring a word and felt so burdened by it that they gave it anyway. I want to draw your attention to the prophet Malachi's word to God's ancient people. Although written 2.5 millennia ago, the principles still apply. The real burden in Malachi's prophecy is to communicate God's love for his people and his longing for them to be in the place where he can bless them. That is not just to bless, but to so pour out his blessing that they can't contain it. Can you imagine that? I was so struck when Brother Moses was sharing, because that's what you were just saying happened. You were praying, God bless work, and then there's a blessing that you just can't even imagine. In Malachi, God says this, "Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it." Well, part of that blessing's people. We've got room enough for it. here today, but not necessarily room enough for blessing, but there's still room. Listen to what he goes on and says. Now, you have to go to the history of revival to see that kind of blessing, where there is such an awesome sense of the presence of God put out on his people that they cry out, Lord, stay your hand. To illustrate blessings envisioned in such a promise, consider the great evangelical awakening of the 18th century. Religion was at a desperately low ebb. Those who were supposed to be spiritual leaders were corrupt and licentious. Common people were immoral and blasphemous. It was one of Britain's darkest hours. But God raised up two great men, both Anglican clergymen, John Wesley and George Whitefield. And these two instruments in God's hands were to save Britain from the horrors of the French Revolution. Some of the results of the revival are recorded for all to see. Tim, could you just come and read up the next bit? Just change of voice. And I just need to blow my nose as well. Here we go.
There to illustrate. Hundreds of thousands of people were converted, and there were radical social reforms, the effects of which were felt in every direction in all areas of life. The abolition of slavery, it took the fire of biblical preaching to abolish this abominable practice. The development of education for all, it began with people wanting to read the Bible for themselves, and later state legislation was put in place to compel the captains of industry to assume personal responsibility for the mental, moral, and social state of the factory child. Prison reform was the next great movement. Reforming acts were placed on the statute books. Dungeons and dens were replaced by the prisons that we're still using today. Prison schools were opened. Matrons were appointed to oversee women and children in the place of male superintendents, along with other prison reforms. Laws to protect children were established. Orphanages were opened for the homeless children. The origin of foreign missions came out of revival. William Carey was the pioneer missionary. We celebrated the 200th anniversary of his going to India this past year. Revival mobilized an army of temperance workers combating alcohol abuse. Crime diminished, bribery and corruption in business lessened. Theatres once again became the place of art and true entertainment rather than the vulgar and the immoral. The gambling craze almost disappeared, and the cruel blood sports were outlawed. No other movement in history can make a claim like this one. So the Great Evangelical Awakening has been known as the most watershed of Anglo-Saxon history.
This next bit, I just wanted, John, can you just come and read this bit? Because you know sometimes when we have a church meetings, John reads things and they've really got weight to them, you need to listen to them carefully. And this bit he put in bold. So there you go, John, come and read this bit here. Thanks, Tim. So that's describing the history of what God has done, and it sounds like that could be a similar kind of thing that India looks back on in your own time. Just this bit there.
Now the burden the Lord has laid on my heart is that God purposes to make the disciples that constitute Holland Road Baptist Church to be instruments of such a move of God. Can you believe that? Are you ready for that? Knowing something of your rich history, I have no hesitation in saying that I believe the Lord's plans for blessing your community through you exceeds anything your church has ever known before. But if that's to be realized, you need to hear and heed a threefold call in Malachi's prophecy. Yeah. One, the call to realize God's love. Look at Malachi 1:2. I have loved you, says the Lord. Two, the call to return to God's standards. And three, restore what you have stolen from God.
Thanks, John. I was just reading that again, and I thought, you know what? I don't know when God's going to do something like that. It wasn't the only thing around that time we had that seemed to be saying, not just about us as a church, but other churches, almost this sense of God moving in a number of places to do something, which wouldn't be attributed to this person or that person, but just you'd say, that was God, a bit like what Brother Moses was describing. Something that wouldn't just touch Brighton and Hove, but again, be impacted and even be impacted by what God was doing in other places. I don't know the timing of that. I wish I did. I long for it. Praying for it. Got growing faith for it. It's not here yet. But I came back then to what he said in the rest of his message. The call to realize God's love. Do you know how much God loves you? So often we're like children who don't want to hear that. We want to kind of rebel and not realize that the Father wants us to come and be blessed by him. So have we really taken that part as a church? Because that's revealed to us in the scriptures. Revealed to us here. Have we heard the call to return to God's standards? You know what he particularly talks about here in this passage? He goes on and says in Malachi, the context were those who were believers marrying unbelievers. Now, in the Bible, when it talks about a situation like that happened already, then it says, stay in that situation, remain. But if you're considering it, the Bible's quite clear, don't. Don't. And there's another situation he talks about where marriage vows are being broken, people just treating marriage lightly. Again, it's so clear in Scripture. It's not wait till a time when you get those things sorted. Now is the time. And then he says, restore what you've stolen from God. And that's all about our giving. Our giving of the tithe, not because it's under the law, but because we're in a covenant relationship like Abraham to God, giving to what God's doing here and giving generously around the world because we're a transformed people. You know, when I hear the stories from Philip and the guys who've come back from Ethiopia and the people they've been meeting there and hear the stories about India, we have so much. You and I have so much. I know you wish your house was bigger. I know you wish that you had maybe more in your fridge. I know you wish to see. You and I are so blessed. Agreed? Could we give more? We could give more. We could give more. Let's heed these calls so that then those floodgates of God's will be opened. So often in Scripture, actually God's timing and even his return. I want to end with this in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 2 Peter 11, 2 Peter 3, 11. There is no 2 Peter 11. Bible scholars among you will be thinking, where is he going? He said about, you know, God's not forgotten to come back just because he hasn't come back yet. He's patient, not wanting any to perish, but everyone to turn in repentance. And then he says, if all the world's going to be destroyed in this way when Christ returns, what kind of people ought you to be? In verse chapter 3, verse 11, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Is God's timing not a fatalistic thing where it's kind of there, but is God's timing in such with these things that he doesn't even reveal that depending on how you and I act, we can even speed it? That's what the scripture says. That's what the scripture says. And why is God waiting? Because he's patient. He's in a relationship with the people he's made, wanting many to repent. That doesn't mean he doesn't know when it's going to end. Remember, he's outside of time. But that does not mean you and I sit back and say, okay, well, it's going to happen when it's going to happen. What have we got to do with it? No, no, no. We need to realize his love, return to his standards, restore what we've stolen, reach out with the goal, live in a way that pleases him, live godly and holy lives as we speed his return. Let's do that together. Let's do that. Here at Holland Road, let's do that with others across the city. Let's do that with partners in India and other places around the world. Let's do that. Because our God is a great God. He can save this city. Remember Nineveh? One man spat out, stinking, goes and preaches, and this hostile nation turns to God completely. Hostile city. And God, he says, should not I be concerned about that city of Nineveh, he said, and the cows and the cattle? Should not God be concerned about Brighton and Hove? He is concerned about Brighton and Hove. Who's he looking for? He's looking for people of faith. People who will seek him, people who respond. Let's be those kind of people. Let's bow our heads and in your own heart, just say, well, God is God. Do you have faith in Him? Trusting in His timing. I want to start with just something in your own life at the moment. Maybe you're wrestling with God on timing on it. A bit like Tim, you feel, is this the right way, Lord? Do I need to turn now? What are you saying? Just hear His voice say, peace. Don't worry about tomorrow. Why don't you even say, sorry for doubting you. Sorry for worrying. Trust Him. Why not let Him know that your times are in His hands? But now I'd like to ask you to stand. Could we stand together? And now we're going to think about, as we stand, we're recognizing we're a church here. We're a local church. We're a people that God speaks to and who look at His scriptures. And let's just stand. And in this moment, Lord, we're standing and we want to pray, God, increase our faith. Change us, Lord, not just individually, but corporately, Lord. Corporately, Lord, I pray that there would be nothing in us as an evening congregation or morning congregation, those who aren't even here, that would be hindering what You want to do in us and through us and in this city. God, please come and expose it if there is. Come and deal with it. Lord, we pray for our realizing of Your love. God, pray that You would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Jesus. We were singing about it this morning. It wasn't for the kids. It was for us too, Lord. Please, God, help us realize that. God, where there are marriages in crisis, where there are even those who are not married who are thinking of just playing footloose and fancy free with this sacred covenant of marriage, Lord, that You've given to us. God, please, would You stop them? God, would You restore them? Would they return, I pray? God, please protect marriages. And God, for our giving. In these days, our regular giving, our one-off giving, Lord, our just heart of giving. God, break our materialistic hearts, we pray. God, come in power. Come in power. And change us to be those like Yourself who are willing to say, yes, we will become poor that others might become rich. So God, we come back to placing our tomorrows into Your hands. Our tomorrow as a church, Lord, so much of Your timing we don't know. We trust You, Lord, as a church. Have Your way in us, Lord. And Father, again we pray, not just in us, in our city, but in our world, in that northern part of India where particularly Brother Moses has responsibility. God, keep moving in, we pray. Keep helping us to know what part You would have us play. And may You, Lord Jesus, have all the glory. For we ask in Your name. Amen.